Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Becky and Chris is here. Yo, 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 yo. What's up?
Yo. Why? Okay, good. Yo.
Yeah.
Yo. Yeah. Yo. Right.
Are you feeling urban today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Now, do you know there's a girl living at my house now?
What?
Has your flatmate's girlfriend moved in?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
It's actually working out really well.
Does she do your washing in that?
Well, it's all about the washing that I need to talk to you about. So it's really nice. She's a really sweet girl. So she's moved in. So it's me, my flatmate, and his girlfriend. There's a lot of washing to do.
I can't believe you make her do it.
I don't. Because in the house, it's my job to do the washing.
Is it? I thought your housemate did it.
No, I do it.
Oh.
I've always done it.
You sort of pride yourself on it, actually, don't you?
Yes, I do. You've been there when I've been, like, actually just done another load.
He washed some of my shirts, actually, the other week.
Actually, that doesn't surprise me now because of your obsession with massive fabric softeners.
I love it.
You've got every scent, haven't you?
I have, pretty much.
Sometimes I get close just to smell you.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm head of washing and I'm feeling a bit weird about it.
I love it. You're like those people that have slightly rubbish jobs and then give themselves amazing titles.
If I could have a badge, I would. Head of washing.
Yeah. Department manager.
Yeah. Now, obviously, she's moved in not that long ago, so we haven't kind of worked this out and we haven't had a chance to talk about it. But obviously, I'm now doing a girl's washing.
Oh, my God. I would never let you do my washing.
And I am feeling a little bit strange about it. Because
I would feel weird.
Would you?
Out. Yeah.
If I was fingering your bras and stuff, you wouldn't like that, would you?
No. Washing my pants and, like, my socks and... Yeah, no, that's just too...
Okay, well, I just do it because there's a pile of washing there. So I'm like, okay, well, obviously it needs to be washed, so I'll do it. But I just feel a bit weird taking your pants out of the washing machine. 100%. You know what I mean?
100%.
What do I say? What do I do?
Just leave it there for her to do it?
Do I have a conversation about it? Do I say, look, I don't feel comfortable washing your pants?
Does she listen to the show? She knows now.
Not so much, but I know people that know her that do listen. Okay, well, maybe that's been solved then just by saying it now.
It's a huge problem, that, though, thinking about it, isn't it?
Something I'd never even thought about, and there it is.
It's not a problem, because she hasn't asked you to do it. She doesn't expect you to do it.
No, this is not her fault. Stop. I've just taken it upon myself, as head of washing, to do it.
Well, just stop, then.
I always felt awkward with my old housemates. If I ever found any of their washing sort of lying around, I didn't ever want to be caught sort of picking it up and moving it around.
No.
Whatever you do, don't just leave the pants. Either do it all or do none of it.
Right.
Don't, like, set it off. Because that would be awful if she came home and it's just a pile of her pants that you've
just my pants appear to be not washed.
That would be awful.
Well, so I can't be selective with it?
No.
Okay.
That's worse than doing none of it at all.
All right. Okay, and then it gets worse. So today, I decided that before Radio 1's big weekend, I wanted a haircut, just a little trim. So I thought I'd go down to my local barber's. Quite good, actually. I've never been to a barber's before. It was cheap, and I got one of them shaves. With the blade. Yeah. I was a bit scared, but I went for it. I was like, yeah, go on, shave me up. It's all good. And now, look at that. Smooth and smooth.
You got a little cut there, though.
Yeah, he did cut me. He said that was normal.
Right. Well,
is that not normal? I don't know. I've never had one.
He's actually well done.
I'm quite impressed you went to a barber's, you know?
It did bleed for a while, actually, but it's all fine now.
Yeah.
Not as much as when we went to that award ceremony last
year.
Oh,
my God.
And you turned up in the taxi and you had bits of paper stuck all over your face and I had to give you one of those lady wipes to sort yourself out.
Yeah. That wasn't a good look.
No.
Anyway, so I'm walking into the barber's, okay? To be honest, I'm in a bit of a hurry. So I put on a pair of shorts, which I just washed. They've just been washed, okay? So I get them from downstairs where the washing machine is. They're freshly washed. It's all fine. I get to the barber's. Walking in, I notice something sticking out the bottom of the shorts.
Oh. Don't flatter yourself, mate.
You and your bum skimmers again.
And pull out a pair of girls' knickers in front of the barber.
Why are you wearing girls?
I wasn't, but because they got trapped in my shorts, because now I do girls' washing, so now they think I'm some kind of... I don't know what they think, but I can't go back to that barber again. I just pulled them out. There's a proper lacy black pair.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
podcast.
Dean off of Stoke's taken it to another level already. He moved in with his girlfriend and her mum and stepfather, and he's been doing the washing as one way to say thank you for helping me, for letting me move in. So he feels a bit weird because he's now got to touch both the in-laws' drawers, used and clean. See, that's worse than my situation. I'm just having to do the washing for my flatmate's girlfriend, which is, I find odd. I don't think that I should be handling her knickers. I don't. But I am head of washing.
You are.
What do you do? That's my one job in the house. I guess I have to continue, don't I?
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
This is BBC Radio 1 with Scott Mills. Hello. Becky's here.
Hello.
You all right, Chris?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah. Just thinking about Big Weekend.
Right.
You know, always get shirts made for all these occasions and everything.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
So should I get shirts made for you and Becky and everyone? And
We'll be working, so we might not want to wear shirts.
Do you get shirts already? Do you already get these, like, BBC-style...
No.
Staff, what? Crew shirts.
No, I just wear a normal shirt.
So do you want one?
Well, I'm not sure that the place for these, like, Malia-type holiday shirts with, like, legend on the back is going to look good if I'm, like, in a work environment.
As you may know, listeners, Chris gets a T-shirt made for every single occasion of his life.
And the Pete Dong LOL ones that he made for Pete Dong's 20th celebration.
Yeah, I've not worn that since.
No, neither have I. Well, it's a one-off, really, isn't it?
No.
And maybe when he gets to 50 years, we can wheel it back out if we can still fit into them.
Completely missing the point of the shirts. I don't really wear the Pete Dong LOL shirt anymore, but whenever
he says,
I see
don't
it...
don't really wear it. That means you might have.
Every now and then.
Sort of. Do you?
Every now and then.
Not out of the house.
I like going for a run or something like that.
All right. Wearing it in bed.
No, not really. Pete Dong LOL is a bit inappropriate, I think. <Yeah. laughs>
All right, my darling.
Gross.
Check my T-shirt.
But yeah, every now and then. And the thing is, whenever I see it, it reminds me of that lovely evening we had celebrating Pete Dong.
Yeah, Tom. And his 20th anniversary at Radio 1.
Yeah.
So, what would the Big Weekend T-shirts say if we were going to say yes and have them made?
I'm thinking Big Weekend.
2011.
Can I have on tour?
Lads on tour.
Yeah, why not? All we need to think about is a quit slogan, you know, like...
we do it in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do it on the airfield.
So what I thought is, again, for inspiration, is bring in some of the shirts that I have had made in my life.
There's loads.
I thought I'd share them. It's a bit of a show and tell, really, I suppose.
The amount of money. I just can't imagine how much money has gone into these shirts.
Okay, get them out then.
This is my first ever Glen... Well, I used to go to Southampton Uni.
Yep.
I was in Glen Air Halls and I got a job in the bar,
mm-hmm.
the uni bar. So this is my first ever Glen Bar shirt.
Okay.
Right, so it's got the logo of an elephant with the yard glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says at the bottom of it, Glen Air till I die.
And what does it say at the top?
This was my first nickname. Sugar Babe.
Why?
Right, but the problem is, I...
Which one were you? Were you Mutcher? Were you one of the ones that left?
I've got a real issue here, because I can either tell you the truth, or I can tell you what I told the staff that were employing me.
I think we need both.
Right, so when I had my job interview for Glenbar, they asked me, you know, in these kind of job interviews, they say, well, tell us a funny story about yourself. Tell us something funny you've done. Mm. Out of nowhere, I made up this ludicrous story about me getting off with the ginger girl from the Sugar Babes.
Siobhan?
Yeah, to try and impress the people interviewing me.
In your interview, you told them you got off with one of the Sugar Babes.
They, I think to this day, still think that, yeah, all it is I saw her in the pub one night. So in this interview, the first thing that came to my head, ginger one from Sugar Babes, and I was just like, yeah, I pulled the ginger one from the Sugar Babes.
In a job interview?
Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of stick for it. And that never happened. I just panicked. And so for the first year at uni, I was Sugar Babe.
Okay.
Next shirt. Oh, this is my Glenbar Legends on Tour shirt.
And you're still Sugar Babe on the back.
It's an elephant holding a yard glass, but the bottom of the yard glass is like the world. See, on tour. Island 08.
Yeah. Same nice reason. Touch with the little...
shamrocks around the island, yeah. Next one. This is my...
this has been signed.
This is my Glenbar slave auction shirt.
Okay.
On the back, I am Starkey, I'm a slave for you. And then people had to bid for my services one evening.
How much did you get?
Not very much. In fact, they never paid.
What did you have to do? Did they not pay?
I don't think so, no.
What did you have to do?
You had to offer service, like going around and cleaning their kitchen and stuff like that.
Nice.
So that was the Glenbar slave auction shirt. Next one.
Right.
Malia.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
What's
here we go. 2005, the first lads' holiday to Malia.
So it says 2005, the lads.
Yeah.
Malia.
Right, and on the back, Starkey, and the number 7. We gave ourselves numbers for some reason, I'm not sure why.
Okay.
You don't really do that, do you?
Not really, no.
This was our first time to Malia. We all met up in the airport in these, and I remember our first night we went out onto the Malia Strip, all in these, thinking we were brilliant. My one piece of advice, don't ever get shirts with the lads written on it.
Why? What happened?
Opposite effect. Well, we didn't look like lads. We looked like idiots. I remember we walked down the strip in these and they have loads of PR people outside the clubs, you know, trying to get you into the club.
Yeah.
And we thought this was brilliant. We turned up and we were like, all these girls just trying to get you into the club. It was like the stuff of dreams. We were turning up in Malia and girls just flocked to you. And they don't. They just get you in the club and take your money and then go back outside and do it to the next group.
That is true, yeah. Well, you thought the girls were there just for you.
Yeah, we thought...
And they liked you a lot.
It is exactly what people say happens on these holidays, and that's that you turn up and literally you're just magnets.
Yeah.
I remember first thing down that strip, like 5 girls came up to me, yeah, the lads, amazing. Come in, have a fishbowl.
Oh, my God, this is the in-betweeners.
So, that's Malia. Do you want the next one?
Yes.
Oh, this is a good one. This is...
oh, my God, to the back.
Carl Kennedy at the Cube. He signed it at the top. Have a look.
Carl Kennedy off Neighbours.
Yeah. Need I say more? What a night.
Hang on a second. You knew that Carl Kennedy was visiting this club, right?
Yeah.
So you had shirts made previously to that?
Yeah. They had these kind of shirts that they were handing out for free. So all we did is we got the Carl Kennedy stuff printed on the back. He loved it. He absolutely loved it. I think I've got a photo with him somewhere.
And were you in charge of the shirt making?
I was, yeah.
Surprise.
Did that for about 10 other people. Next one.
Yeah.
This is another Glenbar shirt. The problem I have here is my nickname is EVA.
Eva? What, from Wally?
I can't remember.
Eva Peron?
I can't think of what context they gave me
have
this.
Have you been to Argentina before?
I don't know.
Why are you Eva?
I really don't know. I really need some help with this. Like,
you can't remember why you're Eva?
I don't think I've ever met anyone called Eva, so I need some help with that. If anyone knows Eva. All right, next one. Another Glen Eyre shirt here. And my nickname for that, La Resistance.
Why?
What? It was because at this point, I'd been dismissed. I'd been fired from Glenbar.
Right.
It was a few things. I got sacked from Glenbar and they did this shirt for me, and so I wasn't at this point bar staff, I don't think. They just got it in my honour, La Resistance. Oh, this is a great one. This is a Watford FC catering top.
Okay.
Right, and I managed to get hold of one of these, and all the catering staff...
It's massive.
..at Watford FC... Well, it wasn't mine.
Right.
All the catering staff at Watford FC would wear these shirts. So what I did, what I thought would be really clever, is get hold of one of these shirts... and then turn up early on a match day and pretend I was in the catering staff to get in.
Right.
So I would turn up at the gate and just be like, yep, Chris here, ready for work. And just sort of, you know, I'd have the shirt on.
And they'd let you in early?
They'd usher me in.
But how did you kidnap them? How did you get the shirt off them?
I can't say.
Is the person who was wearing the shirt still alive?
Yeah. There's nothing sinister about it.
Sounded like you'd bump them off.
Yeah. No. They're very much alive.
Was it like a film where you had them like tied up in a cupboard going and you're wearing their shirt? You just swapped clothes.
It's a clever idea though, isn't it? The thing is, one thing...
Or like in a corridor where they just suddenly, you drag them away and they disappear.
It's the power of the shirt. People sort of respect the shirt. Just because I wore a shirt that said Watford Catering on it, they let me in.
How did you say you got the shirt again?
Just off a friend. I cannot reveal their identity. They still work there.
Is it Elton John?
No.
Does he work in catering at Watford?
I don't know. He used to own it.
He did, yeah, good knowledge, yeah. Right. The only problem with this shirt now is there was one week where I turned up in it ready for work and they changed the uniform, they'd gone to grey.
They'd gone grey.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Em's been on saying, so let me just get this right. Chris lies in job interviews, steals uniforms and impersonates caterers and worries why he can't get a job.
Yeah.
There's another girl who is called Lizzie and she used to work in the same bar as you.
In Glen Bar?
Yeah, in Southampton. In the tell us something interesting about yourself bit of the interview, she said she was in an ABBA tribute band. Got the job though. So what's happening? Are we having these shirts made or not?
I'm all for it.
Why don't you... What you could do is set up a stall around the back of the main stage at Radio 1's Big Weekend.
You can't just do that.
Why not?
Because all the vendors have to be approved, don't
they? Well, he's got a history of being shifty.
Yeah, the other issue is we're leaving this last minute, aren't we? I'm going to be up all night printing them.
It's all fine.
Do you actually print them yourself?
Yeah, well, me and a mate.
It's like a friend of a friend. Remember, we talked about this before. She runs her business from her house, from her flat. And she's the one that does the Jeremy Kyle pillowcases.
Oh, yes.
Prints them all herself. Yes. You'd be surprised how many people want a cushion with Jeremy Kyle's face on.
Right.
She is minted out of it. She's not minted, but she's doing all right.
So we'll get some shirts made.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you're going to be like those people you see in Paris with their like mini Eiffel Towers wrapped in a massive duvet.
You want DVD?
Yeah, we shouldn't really be talking about this on the radio, I guess, really.
You want DVD? It's fine. We'll just set it up outside the... if we get there quite early on Saturday, it'll all be fine.
I'm not having anything to do with it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, OK, let's get some Dear Scott song, because it's Thursday. Whenever I hear the soothing tones of the posh Radio 4 lady, I know that the weekend is almost upon us. You got an email? Do you want to send it to me? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Anything at all, chances are she will read it out. So if you've got anything you want to say about the show, anything maybe that's happened to you that you want to share, or your mates, let me know about it. Any stories at all, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Right, here's the first one for today.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris, PR4L and the one that doesn't speak. Remember a few weeks ago you were talking about people breathing in songs?
Yeah, we've talked about this quite a lot. And once you notice it, it's all you can hear. What was the one that was it Written in the Stars? Yeah, that's really bad.
It's mainly in
breathing.
Sort of hip-hop. There's loads, isn't there?
Loads. Written in the Stars is a really... one where you notice it a lot, though.
Well, I was listening to James Morrison, You Make It Real, and I had it up really loud and noticed that you can hear him spitting when he's singing. You know, like when people's tongues are too big for their mouths and they spit all over your face and you have to slyly wipe your face with a towel without wanting to offend them and their saliva?
Who's got a towel?
Anyway, check it out. It's put me right off the song. You complete me. Never leave Radio 1. Ever. Elizabeth. Aberdeen. Smiley. XXX.
Who said I was leaving?
Never leave.
Don't make me paranoid.
I love it that she takes a towel with her just in case she bumps into someone who's got a tongue too big for their mouth.
No, I think someone's going to spit at me today with a big tongue, so I'm going to take a towel just in case.
I can't say I've ever noticed that with him.
With James Morrison, you mean?
Yeah.
I've never heard him spitting, but let's... got the song here, so let's hear it and see what Elizabeth's saying.
It gets hard to breathe.
Not so much in that bit.
Well, he does like a brush on the breathe, but I didn't hear any saliva.
Okay, carry on.
When all my faith has gone.
You can hear it a bit, actually. It's words like faith.
You make it real for me.
It's the F's, isn't it?
See, if you had your towel, it would have been on the F. You make it real Oh, thanks a lot. Ugh. Next.
When my head is strong, but my heart is weak, I'm full of arrogance and uncertainty.
Definitely too much saliva on that one.
But I can't say, until you pointed it out, I would never have noticed
No.
it.
It's much more subtle than the breathing. But now you notice it, it's always going to be there every time you hear that song, which isn't very often. Next.
Bonjour, Scott. Je suis la radio poche Quatre Dames et je suis en France charge manger du fromage. Aimez le spectacle de Billy Don Bogner.
I've got no idea what that just said.
Becky will know.
something about cheese and loving the show from Billy off Bognor.
Mais oui, thanks for
but
your...
I don't know what she's doing with the cheese. Charge the cheese? In charge of cheese? Eating cheese? I don't know, something with cheese.
Maybe it's her job.
Thanks for your email.
Dear Scott, the other day I was sitting in work and could feel something in my boxer shorts annoying me.
Oh.
Thinking it was the label, I went to the toilet to cut it off.
Bit drastic.
Oh, wow. This is not going to be like when I found the lady's knickers in my shorts earlier, is it?
Much to my surprise, it was not the label at all, but a spider the size of a twopence piece crawling about in there. I was quite shocked, as you can imagine, especially since this was about 10 past 11, and so I'd been wearing my boxers for about 3 hours by that time. My girlfriend has now taken to calling me spider pants, which I'm not so fond of, and even told some friends of ours when we were out the other night. Needless to say, I now have a compulsion to shake my pants vigorously each morning before I put them on. Oh well, at least I don't live in Australia. David, in Glasgow.
I was about to say, David, when I was in Australia doing the I'm a Celebrity show on the kind of ITV2 show, I got uber paranoid about that, and I would shake everything out every day. But you live there. Did you not do that?
No. I never shook anything.
Why? You're supposed to.
I got a... you made me pause in completely the wrong place then. I got a cockroach on my face one morning when I was waking up.
Did you?
Yeah, but that was about... Because they're quite big in Sydney, and they, like, fly, and like they land on your neck and your arms. And...
I was shaking out my pants, my shoes, my trousers, everything. I was super paranoid about it.
But surely you'd notice the difference between a spider wriggling about in your underwear than just a label.
Don't know. Anyway, thanks, spider pants.
Oh, I've thought of that.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Dear Scott, well, 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 you've finally done it, haven't you?
What?
What I'm talking about is obviously Rachel Stevens. After hours of mentioning her, you have finally got her on TV. Sing if you can with that Burke, Keith Lemon and Stacey Solomon on ITV Saturdays. I'm going to end this now because I sound like I'm promoting this brilliant show. Love you, bye. High five. Tom, 13 and a half, Salisbury.
Tom, you can't hold me responsible for Rachel Stevens being back on TV.
But why else would she be back on?
Admittedly, I'm a big fan of Stevens' work over the years, and I probably mention her more than you should on a radio show in 2011, but she's just a bit of a heroine to me.
But there's no other reason why she'd be on the telly apart from mentioning her.
Have you seen who else they have on Sing If You Can?
Yeah, I couldn't. I watched it on Saturday night, but I couldn't name any of the other ones.
Right. Is she on every week?
No, I don't think she's resident.
Jedward were on Saturday.
Yeah, they were. They're doing Eurovision tonight. Semi-final. Will they get through though? What do you think, Becky?
I don't know, but I know you're doing your colouring in again because I can hear you.
Yeah, BBC Three. If you want to see if Jedward get through to the final,
I think they're going to get through, and I think they're going to win it
tonight. Do you think Jedward are going to win?
Yes.
8 o'clock tonight, BBC Three.
I hope they do.
Get some nice food and some nice drinks in and watch the TV.
That's controversial, isn't it? Because I said that I wanted Jedward to win.
That is controversial. You should be supporting the boys from Blue.
No.
I heard a very horrible joke today as well.
Oh, is it the same one I heard?
Yeah.
I can't remember it. Don't do the punchline. Think of the whole joke first. Don't give away the punchline.
What? What's blue and can't sing?
Yeah.
Blue.
Yeah. It's funny though.
Anyway, I'm not responsible for Rachel Stevens being back on TV, even though she made a pop classic in Sweet Dreams, My LAX. Not so much Funky Dory.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
So, The Apprentice last night. OMG.
Were you watching it when you were doing Eurovision, or have you watched
it
since?
I did a Eurovision rehearsal for the show that's going to go out tonight on BBC 3 at 8 o'clock. So it's like a full rehearsal. But I could see that in the little gallery bit, they were watching The Apprentice on the small screen. So not really concentrating.
Can you imagine if I just watched TV while we were doing the show?
Well, you could easily sneak a TV down there and, like, watch it. Do you remember Chappers did that once or something?
Did he?
Yeah, we were at some event. And I know what it was.
It was Laura's one,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was One Night with Laura, where we tried to find Laura, who used to work on the show, a boyfriend. And he was part of the panel of judges, the X Factor star judges. And we had to judge all these blokes who wanted to be her boyfriend. And there was a match on, a Man United match, that he really wanted to watch. So he actually had a small television.
What a legend.
I know, what a legend. And you know, we miss him, don't we?
Well, that's why when people think that football is more important than other stuff in life, like if we had an important job to do and I was like, but it's the final of Gossip Girl, the one that doesn't speak wouldn't let me have a TV.
But it's football, it's different, Becky.
Well, it's like when Chappers used to get time off from work to go and watch football matches, and then I wanted to be which team was I going to support just so I could get time off?
I can't remember.
Anyway, I thought that would be a good idea because I wasn't just allowed time off to go shopping, whereas he got time off for football.
Understandably so, I think.
Why?
No, well, it's exactly the same, Chris.
Oh, it's just sexist.
Anyway, so The Apprentice.
Yes.
You know, the night before last, there was one question that Lord Sugar gets asked more than any other question ever.
One of the most frequently asked questions of me is it possible in this day and age to start a business like you did back in 1967 with a small amount of money and some humble background?
It's a long question. You wouldn't think that people would ask that, but they do. And he gave an answer.
And the simple answer is yes.
Anyway, so last night, once again, Lord Sugar is wanging on about 1967.
Much better than the opportunities I had back in 1967. I had just a very narrow market. Here you've got the world.
Oh, God. Anyway, so there he is again.
When I started in 1967.
It's a good show, this, because they are all idiots.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Get it on the
iPlayer. iPlayer
it in your life right now, immediately. So they had to make apps last night for phones. Now, you know when you're doing puns on stuff?
Oh, like you and Zane were doing it last night in the handover with Hoff puns.
Yeah, they'll get me a cup of Hoffy. I'll meet you in the Hoffice.
And Zane was like, he didn't speak for a while because he was really struggling to try and find one.
Yeah. Well, when you're doing them, here's my tip, right? If you think of a good one, think about it and think, is it good enough to actually say out loud before you say it out loud?
Oh, this poor guy.
Because it was all going very well, and then one at the end is like, no, that's not good enough.
He shouldn't have said it.
Think about whether it fits the conversation, all right? And whether it's good enough to actually say.
Temperature on this day. It will tell you the temperature in London of this day exactly a year ago.
That's the wrong clip. That actually made no sense.
If you're going to play a clip,
that's not a pun.
Think about your clip beforehand and work out if you're actually playing the right one.
Yeah, that's another tip from me there. And also, do think about whether the pun's good enough.
There's approximately 12 hours to get this app done.
Are we fast approaching where we need to be?
Yeah, good.
This is absolutely...
Yeah, I was just saying.
Not bad, not bad.
Did you have an apple?
Tumbleweed, see? Apple.
Especially if the one before you launch into yours has had a really big laugh.
Let's hear that again.
There's approximately 12 hours to get this app done.
Are we fast approaching where we need to be?
This is absolutely...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you have an apple?
No, nothing.
Oh. That's brilliant.
So here are the boys coming up with their ideas for apps. Some real nice ideas in here.
Temperature on this day. It will tell you the temperature in London of this day exactly a year ago.
Because I don't know about you, I always think to myself, I wish I knew what the temperature was in my town on this day a year ago. And I meet loads of people that ask the same question, and just, I think the world is crying out for an app like that. Because I always wanted to know that. I mean, why wouldn't you?
A traffic light.
Just having traffic lights, or...
Yeah.
Right, so just a traffic light app. What's the point of that?
What, just a
traffic light?
A traffic light.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of an app for...
Why
I was on...
Traffic
on
light.
Apprentice.
Oh, have you
traffic light.
Have you got the girls one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I just thought of this. I think it's a brilliant idea. Okay, so imagine if you've got two people standing next to each other, and you've got... okay, how do I say this? Okay, so you're you, and I'm me, and I say, okay... so, if I ask you a question like, where do you think we are? And I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to ask my phone where we are right now.
It sounds a bit
and you
complicated,
type in,
Susan. I think that.
No. Can I just finish my idea? Because I don't think I'm explaining this very well. You type the answer, but when it actually shows up is, Bob, here is my question.
Okay,
so
Susie,
you type.
I've had enough
does that
time
make
to
sense?
Explain it now?
But the
Susie,
text that comes up.
Susie,
is that,
I'm going to stop
can you
now
please just let me finish?
Susie, no.
Susie, no.
I didn't get that one, did you?
I think she explained it very well, but just the others weren't getting it because they're stupid. Now, are those ideas better or worse than Chris's apps?
Right,
the
I
ideas
think I've
that
got
he
one.
Go on.
I think I've got one. What it's going to be, it's going to be like the new Facebook, I think. This is what I'm going to pitch for. And it's going to be an app where it tells you, you put in your location.
You're sounding like this girl now.
Now bear with me.
Me and you're you.
Right, and what you do is it will tell you where the nearest animal is, right? So it's like the nearest gorilla or the nearest whale.
Why?
Well, because every now and then, when I'm sort of in bed or on the bus or something like that, I do sometimes think to myself, like, you know what? I wonder where the nearest giraffe is. So what would have to happen is people would have to log in if they spot said animal.
Mm. Oh, that's a better idea. I thought you were going to have to tag them all.
Well, no, because I don't have the time really to do that. But
well, you do, but yeah,
I do actually. But what it would be is if you spot an animal, you put it on this thing, and then you'll have a load of stats about where these nearest. The only thing, it's open to abuse, that isn't it?
It is a bit. Yeah, you're trusting people a lot there.
And also, what if they move?
Like, which they do.
Well, gorillas could just walk.
They don't just stay in the same place.
But I suppose it'll be like last spotted kind of thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
I suppose it's open to abuse if someone then types in that they've just seen a giraffe down Brentwood High Street.
Yeah, because that wouldn't happen.
I'm trying to think of a name as well.
Okay, well, we'll leave that with you.
But Spotter Croc or something.
I think that it's better than the ones they came up with on The Apprentice last night. Because who doesn't think, when they're lying in bed at night, I often think to myself, I wonder where the nearest goat is. Radio 1
podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Yes, that's a good name. Spotify. That's good. That's better than your other one.
What, Spotter Croc?
Yeah, that's rubbish. Annie Map. Annie Animal Map.
That's brilliant.
Annie Map. Sounds like,
yeah,
Annie Map.
I like that.
Also, toy giraffes don't count. If if you see one in Toys R Us or whatever, Gary and Ken, obviously no, it needs to be a real one. I have often, all joking aside, been in bed at night and thought to myself, I wonder where the nearest rat is right now.
Yeah, rats I can understand.
But not so much beavers or...
No.
What's
what that? About Locator Gator?
Podcast. Thursdays mean the Posh Radio 4 lady reading out the stuff that you've been saying to us. Any correspondence you'd like to send my way? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk on my email.
Hi guys, I just wanted to say that on Sunday evening, as my mum and I were driving to go out to dinner, we passed a small corner shop. Standing outside the shop were a few men, and one of them was wearing a sombrero, like the game tells you to do to get attention from the girls. I thought it was a bit weird though. Isn't it supposed to be in a more crowded place like a pub or club? Surely not outside a corner shop at 7:30 in the evening. Love the show. Big love. Danielle, age 16 and 4 months, from Raynham in Kent, XXX.
Thank you, Danielle, for your email. This is the book The Game that we've been talking about a lot. We even had the author Neil Strauss in recently. And one of the things you have to do is kind of stick out from the rest of the guys, and that can be wearing a sombrero. Mm. Does it have to be in a public place, Chris? You're the expert on the game.
Well, I think it's fine, but I mean, what I was thinking is maybe the guys by the shop aren't old enough to get into a club.
Yeah, so they're just wearing a sombrero
anyway. So
they're
just adapting the game, but for their own situation, which is good.
Yeah, no, that's good. Because, yeah, they might not be old enough. Don't you just look a bit weird wearing a sombrero outside a shop?
You stand out.
You do. So, Danielle, that's not weird for 7:30 at all. Especially not where you live. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris, PR4L and the one who doesn't speak. I know you are a pioneer and trendsetter in the language world, always introducing us to new and upcoming phrases and sayings.
That's me.
Epic Plum being my personal favourite of late.
Epic Plum was a good one, yeah.
And I feel that I may have stumbled across the next big thing. I recently ate in a Thai restaurant in Liverpool and was highly amused to find holy basil mentioned as an ingredient in a number of dishes on the menu. It was indeed very tasty, but I feel that holy basil is somewhat wasted in the culinary world.
Do you know what I like? The fact that you were in a Thai restaurant in your own spare time, you saw holy basil on the menu and you thought, Scott Mills. I think that's brilliant that I'm so associated with new phrases and language.
I think it could become the new shocked exclamation of choice, used in a similar way to OMG, holy cow, or Gordon Bennett. Would love to hear your thoughts on whether it could catch on, and especially would love to hear the PR4L tested out in a surprised tone of voice. Rachel, off of Liverpool, smiley.
Holy Basil. Do we like that?
Has the PR4L done it?
Yeah. Do you want to hear the PR4L?
Yeah.
Well, you try it first. Imagine, you know how often you say OMG? Try it in that situation. So say it first and then put what you would normally say after OMG.
Holy Basil, are you really wearing those shorts?
It's a bit posh, isn't it?
Holy Basil.
Yeah.
Be posh now, listen.
Holy Basil.
That was her surprised voice.
Holy Basil.
I quite like it. We can give it a few goes maybe and just see if it catches on. Next.
Hey, Scott Mills. I was just listening to your podcast about celebs that are rubbish at sports. I play tennis in Surrey and there's a big celeb at our club who is rubbish. He gets so angry when he plays too. It's hilarious. I would love to tell you who it is, if I'm allowed. I will video it next time he's playing and send it in to you for your Stark Sports HD and Stark Sports News. From Ollie, off of tennis. Ha ha. X.
Ha ha, Ollie. Yeah, this is our channel where we're just going to focus on people who are bad at sport.
I need to sort this, actually.
Stark Sports, that's your job. Because all the TV channels featuring sport are people that are excellent at it. And why can't we just have some randoms playing in the park?
We need to know who this person is.
We really do.
Email back now.
Tell us now. Thank you.
Dear Scott, Chris, the one that doesn't speak, the PR4L, and in particular, Becky.
Hi.
I have my drama exam this Saturday, the 14th, in case you were wondering, and I have to do a monologue as part of my exam, which is basically a speech from a play that has to be under 2 minutes long.
I know what a monologue is.
I was thinking about making the character from Somerset, but I'm having a little trouble with the accent and was wondering if Becky could help, smiley. I've attached a copy of it for you, smiley. Oh, and if you do, could you put it on the podcast? Because I live in Dubai, see, and when you come on, I'm usually asleep. Smiley. Thanks. Muchas gracias. Alice, 17, 1 month, 15 days, 15 hours, 15 minutes, and 15 seconds. XXXXX. P.S. This is the second email I sent. I forgot to attach the speech to the first one. Tongue sticking out, smiley.
Shukran, Alice, in Dubai. That's thank you in Arabic.
Oh.
Thank you. I didn't buy a How to Teach Yourself Arabic double CD for nothing.
You actually listened to that?
No.
Oh, yeah, because you gave it up really quickly when you bought your How to Speak Spanish to Impress Enrique, didn't you?
Well, I know how to say thanks. Right, so if you got
Somerset
the script,
accent then.
I have, there. And do you know what? I think I should do a bit, but obviously because I'm natural Somerset, this isn't really acting, so Chris should do as well just to show off his accent skills.
Okay, so what Alice needs is a Somerset accent for her monologue. So if you could start, Becky, because you're from an actual place in Somerset.
Elizabeth and Donald are now far too happy to be able to hear me, so I can tell you a secret. Elizabeth is not Elizabeth and Donald is not Donald, and I'll prove it to you. Oh, that's a plot spoiler, isn't it?
Oh, rubbish.
Right, Chris, you need to do a bit more.
So I'm in the same boat as this girl, right?
So imagine channel Somerset.
You basically just wrap the R's, don't you?
Yeah.
Mary.
Oh, God, sorry. I know it's going to be bad. Sorry. It's going to be really good. Sorry.
Don't say that. Take no notice of her.
Just start me off. Do the Elizabeth and Donald. Just say that.
Elizabeth and Donald?
That hasn't helped. Elizabeth. Oh, God.
I love it when you do accents.
I just can't imagine what a Somerset accent is, to be perfectly honest.
It's a bit like when I'm drawing. Everyone's like, draw a cow. I can't picture it in my head.
Just do it.
I'm going to give it a go.
Go.
Elizabeth and Donald are now far too happy to be able to hear me. So I can tell you a secret.
Becky, can you continue this? Hello?
Right. That's rude.
She's lost it. Becky, come back.
What was that? That was like, Elizabeth and Donald are now far too happy to be able to hear me.
I think it's my favourite thing that Chris does accents. Because he can't.
Just do the last line in
Go
this
on.
Country.
All right. Treat yourself.
My real name is Sherlock Holmes. Done.
I'm that's helped.
There we are. Thank you very much for your email. Hope that helps. Use Becky's more than Chris's. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, TOTDS and the PR4L. I was wondering if you could help me.
Okay. No, not more. I can't.
I was wondering
anymore.
Whether I should go and see Pirates of the Caribbean or The Hangover Part 2. They're both great but different films. Your opinion's welcome. Keep up the good work and awesome podcast. Jamie, off of Ulster, Warwickshire.
Right. Are you unable to make any decisions yourself? Why are people asking us for this?
Well, it's Dear Scott in it. They can ask what they want.
Oh, yeah, I did say you could ask anything. I would never go to see Pirates of the Caribbean. I would go Hangover every single time.
Completely agree.
Do you?
Completely agree.
I heard rumours that quite a lot of people fell asleep in Pirates 3.
Well, it doesn't surprise me.
I've seen 1 and 2. I don't think did I see 3?
Oh, God, I don't care.
Is it out? Is Hangover 2 out now?
I think they're out this week.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, can't wait for that. See, that's right up our street, isn't it? Whereas Pirates of the Caribbean is so not up our street in any way.
They're good films.
I know, but apparently, now what's going to happen? It's going to be the same as when I say I don't like Lord of the Rings and I don't like Harry Potter.
At least you've seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm allowed to have an opinion and I don't understand it. Anything else you want to say? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send an email to Dear Scott, please.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Right, that was Beyonce and Run the World, brackets girls, on Radio 1. I don't actually know what happened there in the last 3.5 minutes. What was that?
Are you not a fan of that?
I love Beyonce, but what the hell?
I thought you'd like that one.
No. No. I might do a new one. Who runs the world? Men.
We've got to record that.
You know what I mean?
Can you do it in that voice as well?
Who runs the world? Men. I'd taking this whole strong independent woman thing a bit far now, I think.
You're a strong independent man.
Yes, I am. No, it's Radio 1's big weekend this weekend in Carlisle. And also, we're making a movie.
Don't do that. Don't do the hand.
Cigars out again.
I've worked out what I'm going to do for my filming.
Right. Okay, go.
I'm going to film you for the entire weekend.
You are not.
I am. I've got it sorted, so I've given up my room so that I can stay with you 24/7.
Whoa. No, that's not happening.
Well, they said it was fine.
Well, who said it was fine? I didn't say it was fine. You need to check with me. It's my room and it's my personal space you're invading.
Well, no, it's fine. We can share rooms. So from 7 o'clock tomorrow... From 7 o'clock tomorrow night, I've got my handy cam. I'll be filming constant.
All weekend?
Yeah, it's got this night setting on it so that I don't have to stay up. I can
absolutely
just film.
Not. I'm not Peter Andre. I don't want cameras following me around all the time.
You'd like
to be Peter Andre, though.
Well,
the only reason...
Maybe a bit.
Yeah, exactly. You just wanted to be in a boy band and then realised that you didn't have the right pecs, so you did DJing instead.
Exactly that.
But I think I can
get
you...
How did you know I used to be in a boy band? Did you just guess?
Every man wants to be in a boy band. My friend, who's like a journalist at ITV Wales, the only reason he's a journalist is because he's too fat to be in a boy band. But that's his words, not mine. He said if he was thinner, he'd want to be in a boy band.
Right, I don't want you to film me.
Oh, I can do you at the bar. I can.
Right. Very good.
Okay.
I can film you. Where else are you going to be?
Where else do you want to do me?
In the bar.
Up against the mini bar. Right.
I'm going to film you everywhere. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this off air. It's Radio 1 making a movie this weekend. I want you to film yourselves. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it's exciting or not. I want a massive movie starring all of us, okay? So what I want you to do is use the best quality camera you can. Try to tell a bit of a story in your film. Also, make sure you show how you are listening to Radio 1, so get the radio in there somewhere. And just tell us about what you love about Radio 1, how you listen, maybe show us. And just show us what you and your mates are doing this weekend. It can be playing football, it could just be, I don't know, just waking up in the morning. It could be dancing along or singing along to Radio 1. But I want us all to film it, and then at the end of the summer, we're going to make a massive Radio 1 movie, and I'd like as many listeners to be involved and to be in it as we can, all right? So let's do this. Whatever you're doing this weekend, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be that exciting. Just film it on the best quality camera you can, and let me know you're doing it. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Thank you so much for doing this. You can email me with any questions or just let me know what you're doing. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. What we'll do is we'll get all the footage and we'll make a movie at the end of the summer.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Something I urge you to listen again to when you get a chance is Matt Edmonton's show. It was on last night on Radio 1. It's a really, really good listen. You can find it at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. You'll particularly like it this week if you're a fan of Inbetweeners. Now, on his show, Matt does this thing called Piggyback Chat, where he goes on the back of a celebrity or someone from the world of music, and the guest has to carry Matt on their back, and however long they hold him for is how long the interview lasts. It's a genius idea. Skepta wasn't the biggest fan of it when he did it.
Were you careful of words like fit, like when you're on my back, bro?
Okay, sorry. Your Rippo, can I call you that?
I know, man. Listen,
what's the word for it?
Don't worry, let's just move on from this thing.
Now.
I don't think he'll do that again. Now, the guest last night on Piggyback Chat was Greg Davis, who sounds like a hilarious bloke. And he is the head teacher on Inbetweeners. And he really does sound like him in these clips we're about to play. So here's the beginning of the chat.
Greg, you ready?
Yep.
Let me mount you, right. Whoa, there we go. Nice bit of leg support, lovely. Grab the microphone, don't forget that, otherwise we can't hear you. Yeah, get comfy.
I'm not sure I can do the leg support.
Let me hold that. There you go.
Don't say it as if it's entirely obvious what I should be doing.
There we go. Greg, how are you feeling?
I find it worryingly pleasant.
It's quite comforting, isn't it, to have a man? It's almost like a spooning situation going on.
It's just two guys getting to know each other the way I suspect God intended.
If you feel awkward at any point, just think it's like wearing a rucksack of meat.
Oh, God, it is uncomfortable, this, isn't it?
It really is.
Anyway, I think, Greg took it well. However, he is a big boy, and Matt Edmondson is really not.
Well, here's the thing, Matt. I was explaining the premise of this interview beforehand, and the notion that I'm not going to be able to support your weight for hours is ridiculous.
Because, really?
Because you literally weigh the same as one of my shoes.
I think that's probably true. If you weighed one of Greg Davis's shoes, same, Matt Edmondson.
Maybe they'll do that on next week.
What?
They could do that as a feature next week.
Weigh my shoe.
Now, normally when something comes out, like, say, a movie, they do a trailer for it where we get to see the highlights, the best bits. Can we see some of the highlights or best bits of your tour? Maybe just 30 seconds of it now?
No.
Really? Or was that a line from the show?
Yeah, that's
no.
I don't think that my stand-up act is going to be enhanced by having a tiny little man sitting atop of me.
Really?
Yeah.
A tiny little man. And then it got quite intimate.
Just maybe we could touch little faces.
We could. Oh, a little rub there.
Look at that. Two human beings, but one of them's got a head twice the size as the other one.
What I fear is that we're both sporters of the sideburn, and in a Velcro-like situation, we could become stuck together.
They do, though, have quite large sideburns.
There's a video of this online, which I have to watch, because it sounds ridiculous.
Get this in your life. Go to bbc.co.uk/radio1. Look up Matt Edmondson. It was a good show from last night. And listen to how Greg manages to manoeuvre Matt at the end of the chat.
Can you jostle me up again? Because my arm's getting quivery.
I'm starting to hurt a little bit.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I think we should go for the shoulder thing. I really do think it'd be an amazing end to the interview.
Okay.
Can you hold the mic?
Yeah, I can hold the mic. That's fine. So what's the agenda here? What's the aim?
I'm going to get you onto my shoulders without moving.
Fine. Right. This can only go wrong.
This leg's going up.
I don't think we filled out health and
this
safety.
This leg's going up.
Yep. Okay.
This is the right leg.
Yeah, I know the right leg's going up. Yeah. I'm not an absolute gymnast. Yeah, oh my God, okay, Right, this is not going to end well. Up. Yeah.
Little Matt's leaning forward.
Yeah.
He's coming onto...
I'm on...
Little Matt's coming onto the shoulders now.
Oh God, okay, yeah.
No, hold the ceiling. Watch the ceiling.
Yep. We're up there. I'm there, it's happened.
That is the most awesome end to an interview you will ever see. Come and see my tour, for the love of God. I've just... for God's sake, look what I've been through to get you to come.
It's really high up here. I think I'm suffering from vertigo. Is this what it's like to be you? Hello, small people. Hello, come to my tour. I'd like it.
Hello, come to my tour. Matt Edmondson from last night. It was on at 9 o'clock if you want to listen again. bbc.co.uk/radio1. There's also a video.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.